Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, the wedding at Cana. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come."
His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there, six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it.
When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Find myself speechless, not knowing what to say, and yet this is one of those times where words really don't share the joy that is in my heart right now. So thank you. We began our study of the Gospel of John, December the 26th, and we will be moving chapter by chapter through that book until April the 26th as we conclude the fourth and final rotation of our narrative lectionary series. Just a little trivia before we dig in today. The author of John is often referred to as the beloved disciple. So this is one of the inner circle of Jesus' followers that we're hearing from. 90% of John is unique from the other Gospels. Now, I heard that statistic on the She Reads Truth podcast. So if your calculations differ, direct your complaints there and not to me. The point is, there are variations in the book of John that we have talked about before. John does point to the deity of Jesus Christ through the narration of seven signs and seven I am statements. The book is full of prophecy and symbolism. I hope that you enjoy learning from it as much as I've enjoyed preparing these messages. Let's pray. God, you made your son known at a wedding, a public celebration of love. Celebrate love with us by revealing Jesus in our midst. Amen. The passage begins on the third day, a phrase that doesn't really make a lot of sense. On the third day of what? Maybe better translated, after 3 days, which points to the symbolism that I referred to earlier, the event of Easter, that resurrection from the grave after 3 days. The first sign takes place in Cana of Galilee, and the stories follow in this geographical arc that will end and begin in Cana. It ends with the story of Jesus healing the royal official's son, and I'll share a highlight about that miracle as we go along, but the overall theme of this section of John is the new life that Jesus brings and the variety of responses from different people as they all encounter him. The mother of Jesus was there, never called Mary in the book of John. Isn't there just something about the words, the mother of Jesus, that serve as a powerful reminder that although Jesus was divine, he was also human with a mother. Although Jesus' response to her may sound rude to our ears, this is a normal address of the time, not at all showing any disrespect. What concern is that to you and me? Literally translates, what is there that is both to you and me? What do we have in common here? These are the same words that are used by the demon that addresses Jesus in Mark, indicating that their concerns are on different levels. The point here is that Jesus' mother is speaking of earthly concerns, and Jesus' concerns come from above. His priorities are God priorities. And Jesus goes on to tell her that the time for his glory to be revealed has not yet come. Each of the signs that John will share points to the sign. Jesus is referring to here his death and resurrection, and his hour, he's saying, cannot be rushed or come at human initiative. Most of us probably aren't shocked that Jesus wouldn't be concerned about a wedding party that's about to run out of wine, but understand this is a culture that's based on honor and shame. This is a major concern for the family that's hosting this wedding, with potential of serious loss of faith within their small, tight-knit community. Mother of Jesus shows empathy and compassion in her efforts to protect the family. She shows something else, too, that we need to not overlook. She acts as if her son has just given her this clear yes to her request. And with complete confidence in Jesus, she tells her servants, go ahead, do whatever he tells you, demonstrating her own powerful faith. It's interesting that while John doesn't share the story about miraculous conception of Jesus, he does use this story to indicate that the mother of Jesus is very aware of his power and of his authority, and she acts on that behalf. Earlier, I mentioned that the stories in this cycle begin and end in Cana. In the latter narrative, Jesus responds to a royal official in a way that's very similar to the response of the request of his mother. Yet this official doesn't take offense either. And his faith, on the contrary, according to the Bible, is increased. So we have this Jewish female and this Gentile male, each with unshakable faith in Jesus, opposite ends of the spectrum, beginning and end, bookmarking this whole Cana to Cana cycle. Do you see why I refer to this passage as rich material? And it gets even better, because this was more than a party favor or a way to appease uneasy guests. This was a sign. So let's look deeper into how this sign points to Jesus and ask some questions about what it ultimately teaches us about God. Because if we've learned anything, we've hopefully learned that when contradictions capture our attention, we should ask questions. Why does Jesus seemingly say no and then do it anyway? What's going on here? And why do many of the things in this story just cause us to pause and say, what? We should know the answer by now. There is valuable truth to be learned if we just dig a little deeper. The 6 stone water jars were for Jewish rites of purification. These were for ceremonial purposes to remove the impurity that kept people from being acceptable to God. So Jesus turns what was used for ceremony into celebration. The wedding itself is a symbol of joy, of community, of new life, of celebration. The water that's turned into wine points to this radical new thing that's come about in Jesus, built on the foundations of the Jewish faith and practice, but made new in Jesus Christ. You've kept the good wine until now. Salvation offered through Jesus Christ. And do not overlook the quantity. 20 or 30 gallons of water that would have resulted in 120 to 180 gallons of wine. This is fabulous, extravagant amount of wine that is unheard of at a family village celebration, representing the extravagance of God's mercy poured out on us, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Glory is a major theme in the book of John. The events of Cana reveal this divine glory that radiates from Jesus, a glory that is both loving and life-giving. What do you think of when you hear the word glory? I took these words from our She Reads Truth devotion this week. Bright lights, angels and halos, crowns and pageantry, pomp and circumstance, champions receiving their medals or lifetime achievement awards. The glory of Jesus isn't displayed. It doesn't line up with our understanding of fame and glory. He chose the most unlikely places and circumstances to display his glory. Today, in the midst of a rather ordinary wedding celebration, we often expect holy moments to be these mind-blowing, spectacular moments. But today we're reminded that something as simple as water can testify to the glory of God, and any moment can be holy in the hands of Jesus Christ. Did you notice that it was the servants who were close to Jesus' side who witnessed the sign? Did you ask yourself how many never even realized that that miraculous moment had occurred? What do we learn from this story of water turned into wine? What does the presence of Jesus, his mother, and the disciples at a wedding celebration teach us about God? What do we make of the words and the phrases abundance, extravagance, celebration, community, new thing, best wine saved until last, and the glory of God revealed? That's dependent on the work that the Spirit is doing in you. But I think that we can all agree that this first sign points to the extravagant, abundant love of God that is poured out for all to receive. The glory of God revealed in community to those who stood near to Jesus and followed his direction. God's glory has been revealed to me today in a day that I never planned for, dreamed for, or expected. God's plans for my life were much grander than any design that I ever imagined for myself. And what's been special about today? My family, fulfilling roles in worship in person and online. You, showing up and being a part of today, being vessels of God's mercy and grace. I pray that God's glory has been revealed to you also. I'm going to invite Itzel back up to sing special music part of the revelation of God's glory in this place today, her beautiful talents on display in such an incredible way. And I'm going to conclude with a quote again from She Reads Truth. And can I say that we did not plan that these studies would coincide? And yet what a wonderful, miraculous display of the glory of God that a devotion picked in one way for Advent and the study that we're doing in Scripture today matched a sign to me, maybe simple, but a sign that God is at work. When God's glory is revealed, either in grand and glorious ways or in the unassuming ways that are often His habit, it's always to call people to believe and to trust in Him. And that's exactly what the disciples did. May this miracle foster in our hearts a posture of belief as we behold His glory revealed to us, until we all behold His glory in full at that final wedding feast. Amen.